Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I'm a medicine man, and my chosen modality is the written and spoken word. My medicine bundle is open. I've lit the incense and offered it to the four directions. I invite you to sit with me in sacred ceremony. If you are an agent of the government, you are, of course, welcome to listen, but bear in mind that the words and actions of the medicine man in ceremony are protected under federal and international law. You can join the conversation by tweeting me at Mudtoe Sasquatch, MudToeSasquatch, or by email at MudToeSasquatch@gmail.com. And now, Mudtoe at Midnight.
It's me, Mudtoe. This is my show, Mudtoe at Midnight. Thank you for joining me. I always forget to bring up Twitter fall, so let me do that, although I've yet to have a Twitter message actually come in. But if one does, I will be ready. Okay. Twitter may be overloaded. Oh, there it is. My goodness. The blogosphere or the internet sphere or whatever the hell it is certainly is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Well, let's try it again. Okay, while I'm trying to make this happen, let me announce that I got the job that I was talking about last week. So, well, okay, no Twitter tonight. Sorry about that. But before I talk about the job, let me cover a couple of other things that are kind of hanging out there from last week. I guess they aren't all hanging out there from last week. But first of all, I want to wish a congratulations to my lovely daughter, who is celebrating today the fact that she set a goal last year to lose 50 pounds during the year 2012, and she did it. So we had a party for her out at Garcia's to give her an opportunity to gain back some of those 50 pounds. And many of her friends came. My brother made the trip from up north to visit her, and they'd all braved the snowfall we had today, Winter Storm Con, if you follow that sort of thing. I do like the fact that the winter storms do have their own names now. I fully support efforts to more effectively market our winter storm friends. Anyway, a big congratulations go to my daughter. That's terrific. And I love you. And getting a little plug, my friend Iggy's restaurant is Garcia's International Restaurant on Hudson and High Street. It's right here in my very large city in the Midwest. And if you're interested in visiting the place, please drop me a line and I'll tell you what city it is. And I'm still doing this thing where I'm trying to maintain some semblance of anonymity, and that came from the fact that when I started this show, I thought it was going to be more about 12-step, my experience in 12-step programs, but as it turns out, I very rarely speak about that on the show. But yet I still shy away from saying my real name and other people's real names and the names of real places, just, I don't know, because I started it, it seems like I ought to finish it. So anyway, but if it's really important to you, if I mention some place that you're interested in knowing more about, you can email me at mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com, which actually, now that I mention it, I don't think I've checked that since last week. So it may take me a little while to get back to you, but please do email me there. I used to have a Twitter account, which I mentioned in that little introduction there, but I don't anymore. But I was using Twitterfall to monitor tweets that might be made during the show with hashtags, and I could get them. But for some reason, it's not working tonight, so I can't do that. But if you do want to email me, again, that's Mudtoe Sasquatch, all one word, MudToeSasquatch@gmail.com. And if it ever occurs to me to look at it, by God, I'll get it. Another way I know I do check this every once in a while is my blog, which is MudToeSasquatch.com. You can make comments on the things that I post there, my little pieces of writing that I post there. Now, that is a moderated blog, which means I read the comments before I pass them on to the general public. I'm trying to figure out a more efficient way to say this because it just seems to take up too much time each week. But I don't I don't moderate your comments because I don't agree with them. I'll moderate your comments only if they're spam or if you just say something absolutely over the top, ridiculous, racist, sexist, something like that. Don't mind your criticism. I will pass that on without any problem. So, that said, here we are. Another Friday evening. I've congratulated my daughter. I had one other thing I wanted to mention before we, again, this is left over from last week. I was looking for, have you ever had like a favorite internet article or blog article, not just blog, but blog article, just one piece of writing that you really like, and you keep going back, you bookmark it, and you keep going back and keep going back and reading it because you really got a kick out of it for whatever reason. And then you go to it one day, and it's just not there anymore. And I had that experience. I very much like this article called The Top 25 Dumbest Moments in Gaming. I'm not a big – and by gaming, they mean video gaming. When I hear the word gaming, in my generation, gaming is talking about gambling. In the present generation, of course, it means video gaming. But in whatever context, you know, it's not something that I pay a lot of attention to, but I did really enjoy this article. It was, just as it says, is like 25 things that happened in video gaming. Up to that point, the article was written in 2003, I think, so like 10 years old. Just dopey things that people who ran gaming companies had done and sort of shot themselves in the foot. My favorite one was they aren't a gaming company, but Universal Studios sued Nintendo over Donkey Kong because Universal had made a version of King Kong, and they thought that meant that no one else could ever do anything with a big ape anymore. And they had a trial, and Universal lost, and Nintendo won, mainly because they showed that Universal had argued in another court case earlier that nobody owned King Kong. So they sort of changed their mind when it was to their advantage to do it. And what was another one? They talked about how the original NES, this is going back a ways, I realize, but the original Nintendo game system, the first one that came to the United States, was supposed to be sold under the Atari brand. It was going to be the next Atari console. But at the last minute, there was a big fight between the Atari people and the Nintendo people, and the Atari people walked away from the deal. And the Nintendo people said, well, we've done all this work. We might as well try and sell it on our own. So they did. And within a very short time, they had wiped Atari out and taken over the whole business for themselves. I read books like that. I like the book about Enron. I like the book about maybe this doesn't qualify, but there's a book about the atomic bomb. That effort was actually successful in that they actually did make something that was able to kill millions of people at once. One could argue it was a mistake that they did that, but they did. They accomplished their task. Whereas I like reading about things that got fouled up. And how it happened, and the way people delude themselves into thinking that things are one way when they're actually a different way, and they should have known better, but they again managed to fool themselves into thinking perhaps reality would never catch up with them. Kind of reminds me of myself in many ways. So I was very sort of disturbed. I went back and was not able to find that internet article. I mean, it was actually a series of like five or six articles, I think. So it wasn't. It often occurred to me to save it, you know, to save it to my disk, so that I would have a copy whenever I wanted to look at it. But as always, because it was a number of different articles and it takes a little bit of doing, I just always kind of it'll always, you know, you have to sort of put faith in it that it'll always be there for me. I don't have to make that permanent copy and take up space on my desk. But it turns out I should have. Because I will never, never see it again. About the only fault I can find with the article is I don't think they spent near enough time on the whole E.T. video game debacle, which is one I personally had knowledge of, because I was one of the poor unfortunates who actually, I didn't buy it. My parents bought it for me for Christmas. I don't know if you're ever familiar with the old Atari 2600, the original Atari video game, E.T. video game, that came out the same year that E.T. came out. And it's like they got the contract, whoever it was, made the game, got the contract to do it. It had to do the whole thing. It had to go from nothing to in the stores in 6 weeks. And, I mean, it really showed on the final product. It's, I don't know. It's just, and I spent hours playing that damn thing, trying to figure it out. That's, I was a disturbed young child. But anyway, the urban legend is that they sent some millions of, you know, number of those ET game cartridges to a landfill somewhere in New Mexico just to get rid of them, just to get them off the books. Did you know that stuff? I had never realized that, but you have inventory. You got to pay taxes on that stuff. It's tough being a business owner. And I do kind of sometimes put the, you know, say bad things about, you know, people who are wealthy or people who are supposedly the job creators and all that. But there is a lot that goes into to running a business that's not right in front of our eyes all the time. And one of those things is that you make something that you intend for sale, and if you don't sell it right away, you know, you keep paying taxes on it. And you buy machines. You pay a lot of money for machinery to make things, and you got to pay taxes on the machinery. It's called use tax every year. It can be quite challenging and put people into a corner very quickly if they don't have a lot of money behind them. See, that's the deal. That's how the investors and the bankers can keep the, you know, the business owners in line, is because with the money they can exercise that control. But I digress. Or do I? I don't know. Sometimes I lose track myself. I think I started this all by talking about the ET video game. And I'll finish it by talking about the ET video game. I actually do kind of miss it sometimes. I don't game anymore. That was when the last time I actually played a video game. I can't even remember. I mean, I think I played that Ski Free game, if you remember that, on the internet not too long ago. I found one, a version of it, and you have to download an emulator because it doesn't run on our modern computers. There used to be this thing called backwards compatibility, and Microsoft killed that at some point in the late 1990s. But time was when you were expected, when you put out a new system, a new operating system, it was just expected that everything that ran on the old operating systems would run on your new one. So backwards compatibility is what that was called. And I guess that got to be too much of a hassle, and Microsoft stopped doing it, so everybody else stopped doing it. And we don't have it anymore. Now we have to download emulators. Sometimes a simpler way is the better way, I think. Sometimes we just make things so complex that it becomes more complex without giving us any more utility. We start to lose utility because it's becoming too complex. We can't navigate it. But, you know, bigger is always better. That's what we're taught. That's the only way to succeed is to become bigger and more complex. And this is absolutely not where I was intending this show to go today. I started off fine. I started off with a nice greeting to my daughter, and then it just went down the tubes. Just, oh, more depression, more horrible, horrible things that are going on. But horrible things, not all the things that are going on are horrible. And the closer that, maybe not the closer, let's say the smaller your sphere, the less horribility you encounter, I think, is that whole idea of bigifying as you start to extend your reach and things become more complex and taxing to your attention. And that's when things start to slip and ickiness and badness starts to creep into your everyday activities. Whereas if you keep things local and simple, it's much more, dealing with adversity is a much more straightforward process. This is a little theory I'm working on. I've written about bigification before. You see some things I've written about before on my blog. I love to have people give me comments on that, by the way. I've fully given up. I promise I have now fully given up arguing on Facebook. I said I'd given it up a few months ago, and I felt myself being pulled back into it. So I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not arguing with people on Facebook anymore. I'm going to put what I think, you know, think it over, reason it, type it exactly the way I want it, and I'm going to put it on my blog. And if you want to argue with me based on that, I can do that, but not on little fragments of information that one may find on social media. I'm not investing my energy and my emotions into that process anymore. Raise my right hand. Swear off. My name is Mudto, and I'm a Facebookaholic.
Hi, Mudto.
Nope, done with that. So, let's move to more current events. I'll talk a little bit about this job that I'm starting on Monday, although I think I did describe it. Maybe I didn't describe it last week. It's for a company that transports students, special needs students, to school. Because if they're, you know, if their buses aren't equipped or whatever, if it's just more cost effective for the school to subcontract it out than to provide transportation, you know, internally. And it's a quite involved operation. It's only in this city, which I like. I like a company that's local, I said, keeping the sphere small. You know, the owners live here, and they've operated the company for something like 30 years. Actually, I've had bad experiences with family-owned companies before, but I'm going to release that and give this new group I'm going to be associated with a fair chance. The payroll lady I spoke to, not payroll lady, the personnel lady that I spoke to, gave me some very positive feedback. It's nice to hear that, because the whole experience of job seeking is so dehumanizing that you're going into a place with your resume and trying to convince these other people you're talking to that you are the person they want, when you have only the vaguest of clues of what it is that they want. So despite that, it went well. I was their number one choice, they told me, and I will take them at their word. Thank you very much. And I start on Monday, and the money is not tremendous, but it is enough to pay my bills with a little bit left over, which is probably going to go onto my student loans. I want to also to carve out a little piece to start saving towards a new, or at least new to me, vehicle, because I'm taking my vehicle in next week for some, I don't know how major the repairs are. My sort of estimate of that is skewed by the fact that repairs cost more than they used to. And so I think of, you know, what used to when I was taking my car in to get repaired 20 years ago, you know, $400 was a huge job. Now, you know, that's like you can expect to pay $400 or $500 anytime you go in. This is $1,100. Next week I have to have the head cover removed, and the water pump is going to be replaced, and the head cover is going to be fixed because they've all got fluid leaking out of them. And I lost all of my engine coolant, and my the heater in my car wouldn't work because it works off the, you're circulating the engine coolant. That's where the heat comes from. And but you didn't know that. I knew that. And also losing the water pump, pumping water. I guess that'd be coolant too, wouldn't it? And so I was losing fluid that the engine needed. So, the car was cold, and the engine needed the fluid, and it was always threatening to overheat. So I took it in, and they looked it over to try and find out where the leak was, and they found it was in a very bad place. It had cover, water pump involved, and they have to replace it. It's an all-day job, so I can't take it in until Wednesday. Now, they've put more – it's a slow leak, so they put more coolant in there, and it should keep me going until I drop the car off on Tuesday night. On my second day of work, I'm going to have to ask if I can leave about 15 minutes early so I can take my car to have it fixed, but hopefully that'll be all right. And I also am getting ready to do my first performance at the dinner theater where I've been working. That happens tomorrow. And, you know, my job basically is to turn the lights on and off at the proper times and to turn the microphone on and off at the proper times. And to make sure all the equipment, everything gets turned on when we arrive, and everything gets, you know, put away and turned off before we leave. It's not a particularly taxing job. Pay is pretty, actually, as I was calculated, the pay probably ends up being about the same as my full-time day job. But it's certainly not as taxing, I don't think. I find it fun. And the second job, that's probably where, you know, things like the car money is going to come from. so things are definitely looking up in that respect. Now, I want to make sure that I find some time in all of this busyness to get my writing started again, because I was doing pretty well there for a while. And then going into the holidays, I slacked off, meaning the Christmas New Year holidays, I slacked off and haven't been able to get it cranked back up again, because I really want to do this. I got lots of positive feedback on the White Horse book and some of the other short pieces I was working on. And that may be what retires me. You know, I feel that I would owe, I mean, this is actually not something going to happen, obviously not something that's not going to happen overnight. But if writing were to become successful, I think it would be fun to be, you know, just to be a writer and get myself an office someplace and just write. I would, since these good people have taken the time to give me a full-time job, I want to make sure I gave them some time before I, you know, ran away on them. Of course, this is all, what is it, someone once said, a goal without a plan is a wish. So until, you know, I have a plan and then moving forward on getting writing done so that people can actually look at it, until that long-form writing, then there's really not much point in talking about it, is it? So I won't, except here on my radio show, because on my radio show I can talk about whatever I want. And it's midnight, so who's really out there anyway? I don't know. I have a small number of followers. I don't think most people who listen to the show don't listen to it live. They listen to it on the archive later on. So thank you for listening, all of you. I do appreciate it. I would like to hear from some of you every once in a while. Let me know why you're listening, what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, what you'd like to hear me talk about. Otherwise, you got to hear me ramble like this all the time. Looks like we've got about 8 minutes left. I can talk about this week's blogs. I do like to talk about that whenever I have my captive audience here. You're not really captive. You could leave anytime you wanted to. I'm sure you're aware of that. You know, really? We could turn it off? Yes, you could. Today's, the blog entries are Tuesdays and Fridays. Today's blog was something about the not really about the Constitution, but I'm seeing a lot of my friends on Facebook using, you know, throwing constitutional arguments at each other, you know, in small fragments, of course, the way you have to on Facebook. Mostly this is Second Amendment because of the recent tragedy. But I touch on 14th Amendment stuff and also on Electoral College stuff. That's kind of a new stuff. I hadn't realized that this was afoot. I just read something about it today, that there are some state governments, I guess, they say considering, and then you read it and you find out, well, it's two or three dudes. You know, nobody else in the state legislature is interested in it. But you know, talking about going to, instead of having their state automatically give all of its electoral votes to the candidate who wins their state, to break it up into counties or into congressional districts and apportion the electors that way. And of course, the reason they're Republicans and the reason they're interested in that is if some of the states had done that, the result of the election would have been different. You know, that Mr. Romney would have picked up, you know, a few more numbers. And of course, that causes the liberals to go all crazy. You know, you're stealing the election and all of that. But this one can't deny that the founding fathers, at least from a modern standpoint, was kind of a loopy thing they did with the Electoral College, particularly that the Constitution doesn't mandate the way, or doesn't give the states, you know, choices. You know, these are the different ways that you could choose your electors and pick one. Now, it leaves it up that the states can do it any way they want. You know, they could, you know, the governor could just appoint them, or the state legislature could have, you know, certain members of the state legislature should go, or it could be a hot dog eating contest. You know, however the state wants to do it, that's how they do it. So it's I guess the overall through, sometimes I write these blog entries rather quickly. I write them and then I go over them once and that's about it. So sometimes the perfect form isn't there, but I think that the through line of it is that the Constitution isn't perfect, and people tend to go to it to bolster their own arguments, and they pick the stuff they like and ignore the stuff they don't like. Kind of like, you know, just about any other thing. But there's a certain feeling of holiness that's connected to the Constitution that I don't think is justified. So that was Friday's blog. Tuesday's blog I called the $60 Dilemma. And this was having to do with the job. I had interviewed for this full-time job, but I didn't know whether I was going to get it or not. And I had an orientation scheduled as a paid orientation for a part-time job at the university. And so I was going to make about $60 for this. And you know, I can use the $60. But I felt bad about going there, knowing that, you know, once I got this call, if they hired me, then I was going to have to call them and say, well, thanks for the, you know, the orientation and the swell money, but I'm not going to be able to work for you now. But I felt it was fair just because I didn't go in. I thought it would have been unfair if I'd have gone in on Tuesday, see if they called me on Tuesday and told me I had the job. And then I went on Wednesday and did their orientation anyway. That would have been unfair. Even though I could still use the $60 because I'm not going to get paid for my full-time job, you know, right away. But I said, if I didn't know by close of business on Tuesday, then it should be perfectly fair for me to go ahead and take that money. And then I threw it open to the crowd, you know, what would you do? And the response is, you know, is 100% that I should go ahead and go. So I did. I was going to anyway. It wasn't. But I do like to do a little group participation every once in a while. I like to hear back from you. What do you think of it? You know, and many of the blog entries kind of just come from that, something that's on my mind. And what I'd really like to hear from people out in out in the real world is what you think of it. What do you think of my folly, as someone once said? I think that was in a dirty movie I watched once. It's probably not quite fair. It was, what would you call it? It was sort of an eroticized historical, I don't know, it was called Aphrodite. It was made in the 70s, Valerie Kaprisky. And it was in 1917, and it was leading up to World War One. And this politician had invited a bunch of friends out to his private island to act out this erotic Greek myth. And unknowingly, these people were actually delivering messages, coded messages, that they were going to start World War One. Okay, that's what this movie was all about. And at one point, when he was explaining this to his unwitting friends, the dude's line was, "What do you think of my folly?" And that's always that line's always stuck with me for some reason. Horst Buchholz. The only other thing I've ever seen him in was The Magnificent Seven. He was the young kid in The Magnificent Seven who sort of tags along with The Magnificent Seven. I saw him in that, and I saw him, you know, 20 years later in Aphrodite. The other fun thing about Aphrodite is it has these very detailed sex scenes, fetishy sex scenes, that really look like somebody filmed them and spliced them in later. And they don't look anything like the rest of the movie. You know, the tone of the film is different. They don't show any of the actors' faces. It's just bodies. And so I always wondered why they felt that. Maybe they just thought that nobody's going to come and watch this this just for its just on its merits. They're going to need some other reason to come out and see it. So it's just one of those things. Okay, I've just got my 90-second warning, so there's just barely time for me to encourage you to listen to other shows on the With Insights channel of Blog Talk Radio. You've got Iggy and Rosa, and actually we're doing our group show on Monday at 6 o'clock, Psychics in the City. And then Tuesday is Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with Jenny Seek, Tuesday at 7. Wednesdays at 3 p.m. is the Entrepreneurial Excellence Hour with Heather Tapia. And then coming back to Friday at midnight, or Saturday at midnight, depending on how you look at it, is me, Mud Toe Sasquatch on Mud Toe at midnight. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you'll come back next week. Hope you'll read the blog. And thank you for listening. Good night.